It's so good to have you joining us online, and of course for those with us in person. It's an exciting day today. We're excited, of course, to celebrate Jesus as we are every Sunday, but very special today after our service. Let me just give you an invitation right after service today. If you will, make your way upstairs. We're going to be celebrating baptisms today, water baptisms, people going public with their profession of faith. So you can celebrate that with us after service today. Well, we are in the midst of a series called Christmas Stories. And if you're familiar with the Christmas story, you are aware that throughout the Bible, in different passages, different scriptures, we get different glimpses of the same story, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And you know, one of my favorite things to reflect on during this time of the year is just that God came near. Just think about that, that God came near. You know, with all of our insecurities, with all of our insufficiencies, with sometimes the shame that we have in our mind for things we've done or words we've said or ways we've lived, to think that Almighty God not only likes us, but He loves us that much, that He would come, that He would send His Son, Jesus, for us is truly, truly remarkable. And that thought was challenged, though, this busy season. How many of you get a little busy around this time of year? How many of you, let me just take a poll. Let me see who we have this morning. Does anybody do bucket lists, like family bucket lists? It is just Kelly and I. Okay, then I will not share that story. Okay, we're good. No, we around our home, we just try to take it season by season. I think it's so we can get our kids out of the house and, you know, survive by keeping them going with some things. But we have different bucket lists that we use during every season. And inevitably, Christmas bucket list is always the longest, and it always has the most added to it. And I know that this can be a very, very busy season, but my encouragement, my hope is that you would remember the true reason for this season, and that is Jesus, and that He loves you, that God loves you no matter what you bring to the table, no matter the baggage of life, the brokenness of life, the difficulty of life. I want to tell you, He is your hope and He is your future. And no matter what you may think about it, He's crazy about you. God loves you and He's got good days ahead. Well, in particular today, let me zone in. This message, at its simplest, has to do with five words. There are five words that we see in the story of Mary that really jumped out as I was studying for this message. And they are five words that have the potential to transform your life forever. And now some of you are thinking, is he going to do like for $39.99, you can change your life? No, there's nothing like that. These are just five words that I want you to think about. And I want you to get a glimpse at Mary, the mother of Jesus, and her response to the angel. Here's what she said, five words that I want to focus on. I am the Lord's servant. Those words can transform your future. I am the Lord's servant. It's countercultural. Sometimes it goes against every thought in our mind and every intuition we have. But the best place for you to be is smack dab in the middle of God's will for your life. The best place as a parent for you to be is smack dab in the middle of God's purpose and plan for your life. Best place for your marriage to be is smack dab in the middle of God's purpose and plan for your life. And the first step to truly surrendering and stepping into God's purposes and plans for your life is very simple. It's the response, I am the Lord's servant. Think on with me with Mary. Mary, in the situation, the circumstances that she was in, she was betrothed to Joseph. Betrothed to Joseph, who was from the line of King David. And so there was no necessary undue pressure on her life until Gabriel showed up. And then can you imagine some of the back and forth? Like, well, how's this going to be possible? I'm a virgin. The Gabriel, calm as a cucumber. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. It's all good. God's got it. And you know, I see her response. It's remarkable. Can you imagine that conversation in the marketplace? Like, Mary, what's going on? Oh, it's all good. It's God's fault. I'm better family's like, okay, honey, it's time for a sit down. It's time for a long conversation about this. But Mary, through humility, Mary yielded, Mary surrendered. You can almost see her throwing up her hands and just saying, I don't have all the answers. I don't have the details. I can't forecast everything. But here's going to be the posture of my heart. I am the Lord's servant. It's a beautiful picture and it's a beautiful invitation for you and for myself today. Maybe you are overwhelmed by the year that was 2020 and the circumstances. Maybe some of the severed relationships or heartache that you may have walked through or disappointment you may have walked through. Can I tell you what statement will carry you through and forward is I am the Lord's servant. Mary would endure great hardship, great difficulty, great trial through her life, and yet she held on to those words. Can I tell you that response transforms our future? Obviously, you know, it can be difficult hearing, hey, you know, this is kind of old, 2,000 years ago. What do I have to do with Mary? And on one hand, you're right. I mean, on one hand, we're not similar with Mary, right? 2,000 years ago, betrothed to Joseph, living in Nazareth, and after all, she was the one who did deliver the Christ, the Messiah. But let me paint a picture of some things that we are similar with Mary, right? We would have to be redeemed by Jesus' blood. We would have to be saved through his name and through his work. We, as well as Mary, are called to follow his ways. And we're charged to be vessels that deliver his message to the world around us. Some of you may be new to the faith or new to the relationship with God, but let me just be very clear. Following Jesus is not only, God, what can you do for me? Following Jesus really reaches the best place possible when we yield and say, God, what can I do for you? It's a remarkable picture. When Gabriel, he never came to me. He hasn't come to us. But nonetheless, God looks at you. He doesn't look at you necessarily how you look at you. And he doesn't necessarily have the same thoughts you have about you. He sees your potential. He sees the supernatural placement. You may think you just got a day job. God says you got a mission field. You may think, God, I got a crazy family. God's like, no, you got the perfect family for my love to reach in and to save. Five words uttered by Mary have the power to move us from fans to followers, consumers to contributors, from a tame walk with God to a courageous walk with God, from simply existing to conquering. Finally, they have a way to move us from our will to his will. The big question, let me ask you, is have you ever uttered those words? Hey, I'm the Lord's servant. It's a remarkable invitation from God that we would be called his sons and his daughters. And I know when you hear a statement comparing or inviting you to live as Mary lived, a lot of the insecurities of life can rise up, don't they? The mistakes we've made, the past sins we've, you know, lived, some of our consequences are still catching up to us. But I want to tell you, Jesus speaks a better word over your life. He calls you forgiven. Did you hear this? Jesus calls you loved. Jesus sees the potential that you have. Sometimes all we can see are problems. All we can see is the sin. God looks through his eyes of love, and he not only saves us, but he commissions us to be a vessel of his hope and his future to the world. around us. I was thinking, you know, earlier before the message, I asked you to just share, or I asked you just to consider giving in this Christmas outreach. Do you know Amy Koenig, a friend of our family, but a friend to many in this region, started this ministry, Jacob's Ladder Outreach. How did she start a ministry to those experiencing homelessness? These five words. Somewhere in the day-to-day of life, somewhere in the midst of raising three kids with her husband who travels a lot and has a full-time schedule, somewhere in the midst of Amy's full-time schedule, she got a glimpse. God, you set me apart. You didn't call me just to exist. Somehow, God, you've destined me to make a difference in the world around me. I mean, you talk about a full schedule. I'm never jealous of Amy Koenig's schedule. Like, thank you, Lord, for her schedule. My mind's full enough. But here's what those five words can do. If you own those five words, they can give you a picture for your future. That it's not just about yourself, but you can make a difference in the world around you. It's incredible. Every Wednesday evening, on a dime, Amy sets out with several others, and they go and they minister to those experiencing homeless. They go and they take supplies. They go, and here's a big part of their ministry, they just listen to the stories being told to them. How does God work with somebody who's in marketing? It's when their heart is yielded. God doesn't see you how you see you. He sees you as a vessel for his goodness going to the world around you. Something transforms in our life when we begin to realize, man, we have been called, set apart, and we can make a difference. Part of the vision of our church is to build lives. A big catch-22 for me is that you would see your life how God sees your life. A lot of us in the rolling around thoughts of our mind, we often have less than thoughts about ourselves. We obviously envision the negative happening. We often come up with all the reasons of why something couldn't work out, why the dream won't happen, why the interview tanked, why you should never have the job. And then when God breaks in and you get it and you freak out, like, wow, how did this happen? God's like, hello, I don't see you how you see you. And I think one of the things crippling Christianity in our country is that people don't realize who they really are in the kingdom of God. Maybe you've been talked down to condescendingly. Maybe you grew up in a home where you were taught that God barely tolerates you because of your behavior. Come on, church kids. You know your mom threw a good conversation your way right about the time you drawn on the pew. No? Nobody else? Okay, good. Well, listen, get a hold of this reality. It may not happen with an angel showing up in your room, throwing you for a loop. It may not happen that Gabriel's going to come knock on your door tonight and say, hello, you heard the pastor this morning. Well, I'm here. That's Gabriel's accent, by the way. Some of you online were wondering. That's how we... But I can tell you, God works in very subtle ways. Sometimes it's a text message. Sometimes it's a conversation. Sometimes it's from volunteering at the school where your kids go and a need arises or somebody gives you presents a need and all of a sudden something comes alive on the inside. Can I tell you what is that? That's the Holy Spirit calling you forth, calling you up, calling you out. You know what I know. Most sin is boredom. We're just existing. We're just bored with the life we have. And we don't understand how God sees us, how he has set us apart and destined us to not be a generation that just lies in wait, but to be a generation that grabs on to all that God has for us. I know this was supposed to be a Christmas message. I couldn't help myself today, okay? I'll use the scriptures in front of me, okay? But Mary made that statement, I am the Lord's servant. I want to tell you, your life will sense a lift if you were to utter those words. George Eliot, I'll drop a little quote on you. If we can bring that up, because I don't have it memorized, but I love this quote. For the growing good of the world is partly dependent on unhistoric acts, and that things are not so ill with you and me as they might have been is half owing to the number who lived faithfully, three words, a hidden life, and rest in unvisited tombs. I share that to talk about the hidden life. So many of us only feel like we're making a difference if fame is attached to it. Some of us only feel like we're making a difference if the experience made it to Facebook. But mom and dads, hear me. You're discipling on the way to and from church. No, scratch that. You're discipling in the aisles of Walmart, somebody, in the month of December. You're dismissed. That was worth it. No. I'm telling you, God doesn't see life the way we see it. You may see a platform and be drawn to it and think that's where the fruit of life happens. No, far more happens outside of these four walls than happens inside of these four walls. In the hidden life, the moment nobody's going to see, the moment nobody's going to understand, and you're not even going to make it available, it's in the secret place, the secret moments of life, is where community is transformed. It's where lives are transformed forever. Sometimes it can happen in the moment of a song. You're worshiping and you're singing King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You've sung it 999 times, but that last time, nobody was looking, something clicked and you realized, I am the Lord's servant. It's how destinies are created. And I believe there's a call and a purpose and an anointing on your life. You have a sphere of influence nobody else has. There are people God has set apart for you to serve, for you to love, for you to make the difference around. And I thank God that you're here hearing this message, because now you're responsible. Now you're responsible to see yourself in the light of God's love and his goodness. All right, so I've got three things, as I almost always do, and then we will move along. First off, as Mary, I want to encourage you to see yourself as a person of destiny. Say that word destiny with me, will you? One, two, three. Destiny. See yourself as a person of destiny. Psalm 139, verse 14 through 16, it says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Some of you, the only reason you came in today was for God to tell you, you have been wonderfully made. You're not damaged. God has made you wonderful. Your works are wonderful, God. I know that full well. My frame, verse 15 says, was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. Here it is. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. That's written by King David. Before he was King David, he was shameful son. He was the one left to shepherd the flocks in the back hills of Judea. He's the one that when the prophet showed up to Jesse's house, Jesse called all of the other brothers except for David. And it took a word of God to Samuel to get David to show up. David's the one that it would take 17 years before he would ever become king. And he was gopher boy, delivering cheese and crackers to his brothers in the army. And he was like, well, who's this Goliath guy? And God started an incredible journey. David knew the sting of rejection. He knew the sting of brokenness. And he knew the sting of disappointment. But he pressed in to write these words. How does that happen? He began to see himself in a new way. If you haven't realized it yet, you will never rise above the way you see yourself. Most of the time, we set limitations on our thinking because of words of others or voices from the past. But I'm encouraging you and I want to challenge you today to lean into who God says you are. And when your name is said in heaven, what characteristics that holds. I think God is up to good things and I believe he's got a purpose. That's why in our growth track, so some of you are new, I want to encourage you. We have another round of growth track starting in January, January 10th. In our growth track, we go through a spiritual gifts test. Why do we do that? Because we believe God's wired you to make a difference. Many Christians, they have no idea that they've got gifts from the Holy Spirit to use to encourage the body and to transform the community. They think it's some ideal or something that stopped 1900 years ago. No, it's true. God has gifts inside of you. That's part of the reason we do our growth track. Again, building our lives to build you up into all God has called for you to do. But we've got to, I'm telling you, we've got to rise above the labels that have been placed on our life, the adjectives of the culture around us. Don't let anybody else have permission to put a label on you that wasn't put by God. If you think of, I can't find, Levi's. I've got Levi's jeans on. I know that brand. Okay, I've got some Levi's on today. Levi's, there's a label on the back. You know, if you're familiar, there's a little red tag on some of those. And what comes to mind? Levi's. Counterfeit Levi's don't exist. Levi's are the only ones that they get to label the ones that they've created. The same is true over your life. You sometimes have to push through even words your parents said or words your parents thought over your life to step into all that God has said and spoken over your life. He's the divine creator. And we've grown sometimes so accustomed to hearing words, to hearing thoughts about who we are and whose we are. Mary was able to say, I'm the Lord's servant, because she knew whose she was, which led to who she was. And here's what's remarkable. She didn't say, well, what about Joseph? What about all this? There's no give and take, because why? She knew. Before she was betrothed to Joseph, she was a daughter of the living God. I wonder how many destinies fail to reach the potential because they never saw themselves in the light of who God saw them as. Mary knew who she was and who she was. I'm telling you, you've got to. I'm encouraging you. I don't know how many times I got to say I'm telling you. Forgive me. I'm encouraging you today to plug into the right source. Have you ever thought about that? Plug into the right source over your life. You know, let's be honest. If you want Christmas music, you are aware that there is a Christmas music station. I will not share it with you for fear that you will turn to it. If you like country music, there's a country music station. What do you have to do? You have to turn the dial or put in the dial to what? Hear the music you want to hear. You know, the same is true in your life and over your thoughts. Many of us are dialed in to the wrong station. We wake up and don't even know it. We're thinking low thoughts about ourselves. Forgiven? Hardly. Child of the living God, is that a joke? What are you going to tell me next? That God loves me? That he's got a purpose and a future for my life? That he could somehow work all things together for his good? By the way, yes, we want to tell you that. But so frequently, we just dial back to old stations, old ways of living. And God's saying, dial in, plug in to the source of life that comes, the promises that God has for your life. I want to lead you to the next thing. Don't settle. See yourself as a person of destiny. I think the second thought, don't settle for mediocrity. What I love about Mary's response, unlike some of the people in the Bible, Mary's response is, I'm the Lord's servant. When God would come to Moses, Moses does like so many of us, he actually tried to talk God out of his calling. Like, I know, God, what you're doing, and it's great. I believe in it, but I can't talk. You know, like the ultimate trump, God, I can't talk. Could you imagine some of us? Nah, I don't want to do that because God, I'm shy. Do you imagine shy withholding us from our destiny? Or fear withholding us from our destiny? Or I don't want to talk holding us back from our destiny? I remember, you'd be stunned to believe this. You don't want me singing, but there was a short season of life where I actually led worship. Very short. And just be grateful. I don't do that, all right? And my wife does, right? All right? There's anointing, and then there's just common sense. Never mind. Let me stay on the story. And I'll never forget, I still love music, love all sorts of genres, love all sorts of indie artists or underground. I just love music. I loved it. And I remember the worship scene really kicked in the mid-90s. These guys came out with guitars and four chords. And I was like, yes, I can do that. Thank you, Jesus. Or I thought I could, okay. But I was just playing songs and singing. And I remember, not because they didn't enjoy the worship, people would just come up after me and be like, man, I see you speaking. I think you could talk to people, preaching and some of these things. And I was like, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I will not, because I was so comfortable with the guitar behind me. Can we go a level of transparency if you promise not to tell anybody? One time in college, I was leading worship at an event. I was also the event speaker. But I was so consumed with nerves. I had prepared, but I was just so nervous. So here's what I did. I just kept playing. And I started praying in between songs. And I was like, man, I really feel like God wants to keep us going in worship. And nonetheless, he did move, but behind the scenes, I just didn't want to preach, so I just kept that sucker going. I just feel like, woo, And some of y'all never coming back after that. All right, forgive me, okay? But I'm telling you because I could not believe, and I didn't want to believe, it was an inconvenient truth over my life. But it was nonetheless the truth that God wanted to bring forth. Can I tell you, I wonder what someone has spoken to you. Well, how someone has encouraged you. How someone has whispered something to you and you thought, well, that's kind of inconvenient. Or you thought, nah, I'm just going to keep the music going. I don't want to listen to that. And God's encouraging you, don't settle for mediocrity. Don't try to talk God out of something he's called you to and he's put inside of you. Mary's response, I'm the Lord's servant. Moses tried to talk him out. Gideon, the angel comes to Gideon and says, Gideon, mighty man of valor. And Gideon's like, where? Who? Who are you calling a mighty man of valor? I had somebody else do that to me. He said, Paul, you're a mighty man of valor. And I was like, this is years ago. I was like, who? Where? I said your name, Paul. I was like, where? Because my identity struggled to see who God had called me to be. Can I tell you, God's called you. He's called you. He's got a purpose for you. You are the only Bible some people will read this week. You're the only ounce of hope that's going into the workplace. You on your knees in prayer in the morning is the only prayer some of your coworkers are going to get the whole week. God sent you there to be a missionary of his goodness, his hope, and his love. We've got to see ourselves in a different light and not settle for a weak vision or mediocre. Ephesians 3, verse 20. I love that Paul gives us this verse. He says, God can do anything far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. To hear that God can do anything far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. I want us to be a wildest dreams church. I want us to have a commitment that when we talk to one another, we just can't help but elbow each other forward into some wildest dreams. I just, if we're gonna convince anybody, let's convince them about how much they are loved by God. Let's make a vow that we're not gonna tear anybody else down, but we're gonna believe God's not done with you yet. God's not done in your marriage. God isn't done with your marriage yet. If you are coming from a marriage that needed to end and you are on the lookout again, I believe what? God's got a mate in store for you. He's got somebody in store for you. Let's just, if we're gonna be a church to dream, let's dream the wildest dreams. Let's choose not to think our time has come and our future is bleak, blah, 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 2020. No, let's choose to believe that even in the highest levels of pressure, diamonds are being made. That even in the midst of mistakes, that masterpieces are being written. That even in the midst of your story, God is writing something good. I believe it. My last point has a little bit of a prophetic edge to it, and it is this: prepare for greater influence. Prepare for greater influence. Something about Mary's life that she would know now from being in heaven, but would not have known on the time of earth, is she had no idea the difference she would make. She had no idea that 2,000 plus years on in southern Indiana, not only our church, but thousands across this region would be gathering and celebrating something called Christmas. She had no idea. She was treasuring some things in her heart because the gospel tells us, but she had no idea that the legacy was coming through her. Can I tell you, there's a legacy that comes through you as well. Now, granted, you're not going to be giving birth to the Messiah, okay? I know you think your child is perfect. I know you think their poop smells like roses, but your husband will confirm it don't, okay? But I mean this genuinely. I mean this genuinely. Why not this year prepare the remainder of this year? Just begin to get into your mind. Prepare for greater influence. Prepare for greater influence. Mary dared to believe the angel that came to her. How will this be? The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Can I tell you? Your future isn't possible because of your good looks, your strength, your bank account, your level of authority. Your future and the future I've been preaching to you is possible because of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And I believe the year that's coming is going to be overshadowed by the power of the Holy Spirit. That here's what happens when overshadowed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's what happened. Miracles happen before we even get to pray that they happen. Doors open before we even get to see that the door could open. And I believe that like Mary, your life can be overshadowed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that he will move you from where you are into all that he has for you. Let's pray and end our time this morning. My challenge now is the same as it was in the beginning of the message. Will you say those five words? I am the Lord's servant. Just think about, would you be willing to say those words? Not just in this moment, but every day. To see yourself in the light of being the Lord's servant. That's what it really means at the end of the day to follow Jesus is God with the highs, with the lows, with the good, with the bad, with the victories, and even in the losses. I am the Lord's servant. Mary would see some difficult days, but she never faltered from walking in the will and the purpose of God. Can I tell you, the same is true of your life. Jesus didn't call for you to exist. He called for you to exist in his presence and with his purposes. Father, we thank you for this time today. I bless every person at the sound of my voice, those online, those in person, those hearing this message throughout the week. God, I ask that you would lead them from where they are right now into who you've called for them to be. And Lord, right now, I just cancel any label that has been written over their life, any word that has been spoken, any lie that has been spoken. Abandonment, rejection, shame, poverty, brokenness. Let me tell you, God loves you. He's called you. You have good days ahead. He's working all things together for your good. He will never leave you and never forsake you. I speak your peace over your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Got one last.